Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Port.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice, Family Cosmetic and Dental Sleep Medicine, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Geno's East, Downtown Nashville, and OsteoStrong Nashville.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth in studio this evening. Oh, boy. I wish it was a better Preds Insiders, a better outcome earlier today. But the Preds drop 4-3 in overtime to the Arizona Coyotes. They lose game four. They lose this best-of-five series in four games to the Coyotes. And the Preds, once again, were a tease, where they go down 2-0, and you think it's pretty much over, pack it up, series over, season over. Then they respond in a big way in the next 10 minutes or so. They tie it up 2-2. Matt Duchene with a deflection goal. Victor Arvidsson with a slick goal on a great pass from Ryan Ellis. Preds had some opportunities to make it 3-2. And then you get to the third period. The Coyotes score kind of a random goal about 5 minutes in. Seeing eye shot from the blue line from Osterley. Makes it 3-2 Coyotes. And then when you thought the Preds didn't have it in them and they weren't mustering much offense at all, then Philip Forsberg finds a way to tie the game up with 31-plus seconds left. If you haven't seen the video at 102.5 The Game, we shared a portion of the video of Willie Donick and Chris Mason reacting live to the puck going in for Philip Forsberg. It is priceless. And I think it was a microcosm of Middle Tennessee when that puck went in from Philip Forsberg, of their reaction, just a ton of jubilation. That was really cool to see. The Preds bench and players on the ice fired up. They force overtime. Had a couple chances in overtime. Nothing too threatening on Darcy Kemper. And then Brad Richardson scoring a greasy goal, as they would call it, with a pinball action right there in the crease. Shot from Hinostroza goes wide, but it hits Richardson's shin pad. The puck goes into the crease. A little bit of a pinball action, and on Richardson's second whack, puck crosses the goal line, and the Arizona Coyotes end up winning game four, 4-3 in overtime. The Nashville Predators season coming to an end in the qualifying series. And it is a bitter pill to swallow for a lot of people, a lot of Preds fans out there. 615-737-1025. I know there's a lot of heartbreak out there. I know there's a lot of frustration out there from a lot of you Preds fans. If you want to call in or if you want to text in at that number at 615-737-1025, would love to hear from you. I mean, I know sitting here in studio watching that game unfold, I was at times yelling at the TV, at other times on the edge of my seat thinking that the Preds were going to pull this off. And then just like last year in Dallas in round one of the playoffs, where John Klingberg scored for the Dallas Stars in game six on the road, where it was literally sudden death for the Nashville Predators season in 2019, it was the same here in 2020 for the Nashville Predators in this goofy format where you're in a hub city, you're not at the games, no crowd in Edmonton or in Toronto. But this is how the 2019-20 season comes to an end, in overtime against the Arizona Coyotes, a team that has had this team's number for years, dating all the way back to that 2012 postseason against the Coyotes, where, oddly enough, it was a goaltender that was playing above his means. Maybe not quite stealing the series, but, you know, Mike Smith stole the series more than Darcy Kemper did, I thought. You know, Darcy Kemper did not play well, I thought, through two games of this series, played really well in games three and four. And maybe, yeah, as I think about it, maybe Kemper stole it as much as Mike Smith. But Mike Smith isn't Carey Price. Darcy Kemper isn't what Henrik Lundqvist was in his prime. Two goalies playing above their means for the Arizona Coyotes, and it's more of the system winning the series for the Coyotes and the Preds not being able to solve that system. And the Preds coming out on the short end again against the Arizona Coyotes. And look, at the end of the day, I think there are three big reasons why the Preds didn't win this series. And number one is the mental mistakes from the Nashville Predators. And I think you can pin those mental mistakes on Game 1 and Game 3 more so than you can in Game 4. Game 1, that game spiraling out of control in the first period, where one bad bounce doesn't go your way, you trail 3-0, and you can't dig out of that hole. They made it interesting. It became 4-3 in the third period of that game, but you cannot let one bad thing spiral like that. And way too many times from this Nashville Predators team throughout the 19-20 regular season before the pause, that happened. And within that spiral, you had bad penalties. You had bad penalties throughout the game when you're trying to make a comeback. So mental mistakes in Game 1. Mental mistakes in Game 3, where Matt Duchene goes offside when he had no business going offside, as Kyle Turris scored what was going to be the go-ahead goal early in the third period of Game 3 to make a 2-1 Preds. Matt Duchene goes offside. Then as you're trying to mount a comeback in Game 3, Craig Smith takes a bad penalty. A penalty that was completely unnecessary. So you look at Games 1 and 3, mental mistakes bit them in the rear end. I didn't feel like it was as much mental mistakes in Game 4 as it was you just were not good enough. You didn't have enough finish in your game, especially in Games 3 and 4. And another reason why they lost this series, yes, Darcy Kemper. Darcy Kemper was fantastic. Stopped 88 of 92 shots that he faced in Games 3 and 4 combined. But Darcy Kemper was not challenged enough in terms of not being able to see the puck. You look at the first goal of the game today in Game 4, where Matt Duchene deflected it in. Matt Duchene was not going to leave that space in front of Darcy Kemper. We did not see that nearly enough in this series. In this regular season, really, the last two or three seasons, we have not seen that enough. David Poile had to go out and acquire two trees to stand in front of goaltenders last season at the deadline, Wayne Simmonds and Brian Boyle. Now, those moves did not pan out the way that David Poile wanted, but he had to go out of his way to go get two separate players that could do that, stand in front of the goaltender. And without replacing Wayne Simmonds and Brian Boyle in the offseason before the 19-20 regular season, they struggled to create traffic in front of opposing goaltenders. And they struggled to do so in this series against Arizona. They struggled to penetrate the middle of the ice, even dating back to the Dallas series in 2019. The Dallas Stars had their way with the Nashville Predators, for the most part, keeping everything to the perimeter. And this Preds team has got to find a way moving forward to create havoc in front of the net. Yes, Darcy Kemper was really stinking good in the last two games, but the Preds did not do enough to make his life difficult. He made a lot of saves on high-danger chances, but there weren't enough high-danger chances where he couldn't see the puck. So Darcy Kemper's effort, yes, is a big reason why the Preds, despite outplaying the Coyotes, end up on the short end of the stick in this series and losing 3-1. You should not lose to the Arizona Coyotes, where beyond two or three players on this roster, there's a lot of no-names, a lot of lunch pail-type players on this team that had no business being in the playoffs. But here they are. They have now qualified for the Stanley Cup playoffs by beating the Nashville Predators. And another reason in my mind why this Preds team is coming back home to Smashville way too soon is because they were way too reliant on the Joe Fillion once again. I said this going into Game 4, that you have to have more production out of your lineup beyond Jofa. And the two even-strength goals scored today, the Jofa line. Victor Arvidsson before he got hurt, and Philip Forsberg in the waning seconds of regulation to force overtime. Matt Duchene scores the goal on the power play. Nice goal by Duchene. Good to see him bounce back from what happened in Game 3. At the end of the day, outside of Game 2, they didn't get much of any production outside of your top players. And it was great to see those top players perform. We didn't really know what to expect out of the Jofa line, where they were put together for the first time in a long time to start training camp. And they are officially back. Breaking news, the Jofa line is back. It was for 4 games. Who knows if it will carry over into next season, whenever next season starts. But Forsberg, 5 points. Johansson, 5 points. Victor Arvidsson, 3 goals. And you could tell the break did Victor Arvidsson wonders. At the end of the day, they didn't get enough contributions elsewhere. Mikael Granlund, where were you? I mean, Mikael Granlund was great under John Hines. 1 point in 4 games. At forward, outside of the Jofa line, Matt Duchene was the only forward for the Nashville Predators to produce more than 1 point. Matt Duchene had 2 points in 4 games. The other forwards to have more than 2 points, Arvidsson with 3, Johansson with 5, Forsberg with 5. Yossi and Ellis also had more than 2 points. I thought they were fine. Ellis today was fantastic. I thought for the series they were fine. The rest of the roster had 1 point or less. They were too reliant on the Jofa line, just like they were in the 2018 postseason, where they got by Colorado, but they couldn't get past Winnipeg because they were too reliant on that Jofa line. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. One question I'm going to ask later on in the program: how would you grade UC Saros in this series? Very curious to know how the fans feel about how UC Saros performed in this series. And are you upset that Pekarinen did not have an opportunity to perform in this series, that he remained the backup the entire series against Arizona? We'll get to that here in a little bit. But Adam Vinken of The Athletic will join us coming up next. We all know Adam has a lot of opinions on this Preds team. Can't wait to hear them coming up next here on Preds Insiders. I'm Ryan Porth, live in the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We are continuing the Game 4 reaction here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Some days a diver. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well done, Elijah Campbell, behind the glass. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice at KellyERice.com, Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard in downtown Nashville, and OsteoStrong Nashville. Joining us now on Preds Insiders, reacting to today's Game 4 loss and season-ending loss in overtime by a score of 4-3, is Adam Vinken of The Athletic. Adam, how are we doing this evening?
Good, Ryan. How are you?
Been better, obviously. Would have been nice to see the Preds push this to a Game 5 and see what they could have done, but the season comes to an end in Game 4 in Edmonton today. The Preds trailed 2-0 and then 3-2. They have a late regulation goal to tie it up, and then Brad Richardson, kind of a greasy, ugly goal to win the series for the Coyotes in overtime. What was kind of your view on how Game 4 unfolded today?
Well, it unfolded the same way a lot of the other games in the series unfolded. The Predators carried a lot of the play. They weren't able to cash in on some early opportunities. They fell behind early. I give them credit for battling back down from 2-0 and tying the game in the final minute to send it to overtime. And look, I agree with what Philip Forsberg and Ryan Ellis both said after the game about the idea that they were much more competitive in this series than they were last year against the Dallas Stars. I completely agree with that. On the other hand, I don't have much sympathy for them. I'm sorry. But this team has continued to trend downward in the postseason. And yes, they put up more of a fight than they did against the Stars last April, but they were still eliminated in the qualifying round by a team that did not qualify for the postseason since 2012. So while I agree with their sentiment, I don't have much sympathy.
Yeah, I saw a stat on Twitter that as of March 12th, the playoff chances for Nashville and Arizona, I think for Nashville it was 65%, and Arizona it was 18%. I think that was Dom Lucchesin.
Yes, it was.
Your cohort at The Athletic. You know, at the end of the day, it's a results-based business. And after the magical run to the Cup Final in 2017, like you said, it's been a downward trend. Second-round exit, first-round exit, and now they don't even get to the first round, losing to the Arizona Coyotes. And, you know, I said this last segment that the Jofa line, I think, is back, or at least they were back for four games in this series against the Coyotes, where they were very productive. They combined for 13 points between the three of them. But offensively, outside of those three, they got nothing. And that was one of the reasons in my mind why they're coming home from Edmonton way too early.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, certainly the Predators were hopeful when they brought that line back together in training camp that they could recapture their magic, and they absolutely did. Victor Arvidsson, I mean, it's a shame that he got hurt in the second period. That was a great goal that he scored to tie the game. Philip Forsberg looked like a monster. And Ryan Johansson, first and foremost, just a complete turnaround from the regular season. I give him full marks for his play in this series. But you're absolutely right. After that, it was just goose eggs all over the board. I mean, I appreciate how driven Matt Duchene appeared today after how poor he played in Game 3. But, you know, Kyle Turris had some moments he didn't score. Well, he did, and then Matt Duchene ruined it. Mikhail Granlund reverted to his pre-John Hines version of himself, which means completely invisible. You didn't get the contributions from the secondary. You know, you got some secondary contributions. You got a goal from Nick Bonino. You got a goal from Kelly Yarncroke. But the big money, big contract players, you know, I think more of them showed up this time. But it's a shame that even with that, they still weren't able to beat Arizona, who, you know, give them a ton of credit. I mean, I remember telling Jared before the series, because I remember him saying to me, I've heard a lot about this Darcy Kemper, and I hear that he's really good, but I know nothing about him. I think the Predators and the NHL learned just how good Darcy Kemper can be.
I thought Kemper was really good in the last couple games, but would you agree that the Preds didn't do enough to make his job difficult in games 3 and 4?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, to an extent. I mean, they ended up having a 59-55 advantage in the series in slot shots on net. So they were able to get to the front of the net, but I don't think they were able to get there with regularity. So I think they could have done more for sure, and that's what Philip Forsberg said, that they did a lot to win. They just didn't do that little bit extra that they need to actually win the game.
Well, and look what happened when they actually got traffic in front of Kemper. In game one, when Ellis had his goal, where there were two or three Preds in front of Darcy Kemper on that goal, today on the power play when Duchene had the nice deflection goal, you know, when they got traffic, they were successful, but, you know, they haven't been able to sustain traffic in front of opposing goaltenders for quite some time. Adam Vingan of The Athletic here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game, reacting to today's result for the Nashville Predators. When the Preds went down 2-0 in the style that they did today, with UC Saros, you know, playing the puck outside of the crease and then immediately having it be deposited behind him by Phil Kessel, were you surprised that John Hines did not go to Pekka-Rinne at that point?
A little, yes. Just because if there was ever a time for Pekka to get into the series, it was then. You're down 2-0 in the game you must have. It's a way to shake up the energy, you know, halt the momentum for the Coyotes. So I was a little surprised. But UC Saros, you know, hung in there and did the same sort of thing he did in game one, where he played well enough after that to let the Predators tie the game. Ultimately, he did not win it, but he did enough for them to stay in the game. And that's what, you know, that's how I would describe UC Saros' series in general. He did enough to keep the games competitive, but he didn't do enough, I feel like, to win them when they needed it.
How would you grade UC Saros in this series?
Are we going A through F or 1 through 5?
A through F.
I'm going to give UC Soros a B minus.
Okay, that's exactly,
I'll give him a B-.
That's exactly what I told Darren McFarland on the postgame show. And
I'll give him a B minus.
For all the reasons that you just stated, that he was good at times, he was average at times, and then there are probably a handful, maybe three or four goals that he gave up that he would like to have back in this series. Were you surprised? You know, John Hines said back in training camp that he expected to use both UC Soros and Pecorine in this series. Not only Pecorine not entering the game in game four today, but didn't see any time throughout the entire series. Are you surprised that Pecorine did not sniff the crease throughout this entire series?
I am a little bit, but then, you know, hearing John Hines' answer after the game about, you know, he really didn't offer too much into the overall decision-making process. But I think it just confirms, I think it just confirms that, you know, UC Soros is John Hines' guy. He certainly earned it in the 28 regular season games after the coaching change was made, and I think this solidifies it. I think next year we go into the season with UC Soros established as the starter and Pecorine as the backup.
Adam Vingan of The Athletic here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Adam, Ryan Ellis said after the game that there is a, quote, new sense of belief in the locker room with this team. Do you buy that?
You know, I found that quote to be there. I found that and his quote about John Hines very interesting. You know, certainly, you know, we have discussed the Predators' shortage of quote-unquote mental toughness, and I thought Ellis's quote about how things have changed under John Hines, I thought was quite illuminating. But it kind of goes back to what I said. They can believe that. They can believe that there is a new sense of belief and pride in that room, but why should we believe that? That's the question that I have. I mean, it's totally fine for them to believe that. They, you know, but I think, you know, why should we believe that after what we've witnessed over the past 3 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, I know you were vocal before the playoffs that you felt like the Preds had a better chance of advancing in this format with the pause than you would have going into, you know, late March, early April. You know, one reason why I said I did not feel better, I didn't feel worse, but I didn't feel better, is that we didn't know what to expect out of this team. You know, that they haven't proven that they have been able to shed the inconsistency. And throughout this series, yes, they, for the duration of the series, I would agree that they outplayed them. But at the end of the day, they lost 3 of 4 to an Arizona team that shouldn't be in the playoffs. And
exactly.
And, you know, a lot of people are clamoring for a lot of change on social media right now. But, Adam, we all know that change is going to be hard to come by with some of the contracts that David Poile straddled with.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there are two easier fixes that this group can make without having to take, you know, without having to trade somebody. And these are the two things I think they should absolutely do. One, buy out Kyle Turris. Two, walk away from Mikhail Granlund. That is an easy way to, I mean, buying out Kyle Turris saves you $4 million against the cap. Not re-signing Mikhail Granlund was a $5.75 million cap hit. That's almost $10 million in space. Walk away. That's what I would do.
Would you walk away from Craig Smith?
It's hard. I mean, I think one of Granlund and Smith comes back. And if I'm going to say that Granlund needs to go, I'm going to say Smith comes back.
Okay. Adam Vingan on the line.
What about you? Would you move on from Craig Smith?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yep. I thought, especially in this series, that Craig Smith did more harm than good. And there have been way too many postseasons where Craig Smith hasn't done enough, where he's been solid regular season after regular season, but he can be streaky in the regular seasons, and in the postseasons, the results just aren't there.
Yeah, I understand that.
Final thing for you, Adam. when you look at this 2019-20 regular season and now after the break, the postseason, how would you kind of put what this regular season plus postseason was for the Nashville Predators?
Man, it's hard to say just because of, you know, what happened in between March and August. But I think this season, everything that transpired, it feels like forever ago when you think about the regular season, because it was almost a year ago that it started, right?
Feels like it.
When I look at this team, and I just have a column up on theathletic.com that I suggest you read where I go into this in more detail, I think this season proves that the Predators are in the worst possible place any professional sports team can be, and that's stuck in the middle. They're not good enough to win a championship. They're not bad enough to accumulate high draft picks, even though now they have a 12.5% chance of getting the number one pick in the draft on Monday. But under normal circumstances, that wouldn't happen. No team wants – you don't want to be right in the middle. You either want to be good enough to win or bad enough to improve through the draft. Predators are in the worst possible place they can be as a professional sports franchise.
Would winning the lottery Monday evening change that thought for you?
A little bit, yeah. But we gotta see what happens first.
Okay, Adam Vingan of The Athletic. Hey, thank you so much for joining me here on Preds Insiders this evening. Have a great weekend, and enjoyed all the time that you allotted for Preds Insiders this season.
Of course, Ryan. My pleasure. Thanks.
Adam Vingan of The Athletic, appreciate his work as always and his time. I have a thought on the 1920 Nashville Predators season that I want to get to, and that's coming up next. I'm Ryan Porth here in the Wholesale Inc. studios powered by RumbleOn.com. You can still weigh in. How would you grade UC Saros in this series? 615-737-1025. We'll get to some of those thoughts coming up here in the next segment, but first I have a thought on what this season was for the Preds. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Demers for Ekman-Larsson. His shot, that one blockered away by UC Saros. Hinostroza picks it up right side for the Coyotes. Banks it back toward Demers. Returns to Hinostroza, top of the circle. And the puck deflected in the net! Richardson was there for the game winner. And the Predators' season has come to a conclusion. The goal at 5:27 of the overtime. Crazy bounces, that's how it goes. This is the
end. That's how it sounded this afternoon on the Fifth Third Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network. Pete Weber on the call as the Coyotes knock out the Nashville Predators 4-3 in overtime. If you missed the game, it was a little bit of a roller coaster of a game where the Coyotes go up 2-0. The Preds come back, tie it at 2-2. Victor Arvidsson leaves the game after the second period, after taking a shot to the ribs. Tough break for the Preds after Arvidsson had scored there in the second period. And the Coyotes score early in the third. Forsberg ties it late in the third in the final 32 seconds. But Richardson scoring the goal and the overtime goal to advance the Arizona Coyotes to round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I have this thought on the 2019-20 Nashville Predators season now that it's over. And I have to say that this is going to go down, or at least up until this point in their franchise history, this goes down as the most disappointing season in Nashville Predators history. And I don't think there's really any way around that. When you think of how the whole season was a roller coaster, there were more downs than ups in that roller coaster of a season. It included a coaching change, the first mid-season coaching change that this franchise has ever had, where you had to get rid of a very successful head coach in Peter Laviolette because the team couldn't get their head out of their rear end for much of the first half of the season. And it was a season in which your star goaltender and the face of the franchise took a step towards the twilight of his career. And it's a season in which you don't make it to round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And in the NHL history books, the individual performances will go down as playoff stats. But technically, since the Preds got ousted in the qualifying series, they did not qualify for the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. So for the first time since 2014, the Nashville Predators are not going to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you've got one of the highest payrolls in franchise history. You've spent a lot of money. You've made a lot of moves, if you're David Poile, to try to take that next step and try to get that elusive Stanley Cup, and you took another step back. After you go to the Cup Final in 2017, you lose in Game 7 of Round 2 in 2018. You lose in Round 1 to Dallas. You get upset by Dallas in Round 1 last season in 2019. And now you get upset in the qualifying series by the Arizona Coyotes. Not good. This is the most disappointing season in Nashville Predators history. You know, Roman Josi could end up winning a Norris Trophy out of this season. Roman Josi was spectacular. The Jofa line in these four games was spectacular. There wasn't much else about this season that was spectacular. I think for a lot of fans, spent more time pulling your hair out with this team than you did sitting down and having fun watching this team. I know I can say that I spent a lot more time trying to figure out what team was going to show up night to night than sitting down actually having a blast watching this team play hockey. And that has got to change moving forward with this team. If they want to get out of this funk that they've been in for way too long, they have to get back to having fun playing hockey. It seems like for way too long now that they look overstressed, or they look like they're gripping their sticks too tight, or they feel it, or the pressure is getting to them. It's been happening for way too long with this team and some of the individuals on this roster. So for me, the 2019-20 Nashville Predators goes down as the most disappointing season in Preds history, and that's a reflection of how the expectations have changed for this franchise and how the 2017 Cup run changed everything for this franchise. As great as it was, and it will go down as perhaps the most memorable two-month period of time in Nashville sports history until they win a Stanley Cup or until the Titans win a Super Bowl. But ever since then, now just making the playoffs isn't good enough. Before then, making the playoffs was a successful season. Now, making the playoffs or making it this far does not make it a successful season. It just doesn't.
At this point, they've become the hunted. They were the hunters for so long, and they finally make that cup run.
They have.
They win the President's Trophy, and now you've seen underachievement since then. Life when you're the hunted is a lot harder, and it makes you wonder after this year, because we talked all season long coming into this season, or off season long coming into this season, is this the end of the Preds championship window?
Well,
I mean, because the Duchene signing was what the one thing that you thought you needed to complete your team. You traded PK Subban because you thought that you could get Matt Duchene, who'd been the one piece that you needed to get you past what you've been running into each May and April.
And Matt Duchene was underwhelming.
Yeah.
Most of the season, he was certainly underwhelming in this postseason. Faced a lot of criticism with Preds fans. And you think about it, the 2017 mm-hmm. run, they were Cinderella. They were the last team in. No expectations.
Yeah, no and pressure. There was really no pressure to win anything that postseason.
And ever since they won the President's Trophy, they've had very high expectations. And they have not lived up to them each and every postseason since then. UC Saros, how would we grade UC Saros in this postseason series? I said B+. Adam Vingan, or B-, excuse me. Adam Vingan said B-. Darren McFarland said B. Kevin on Twitter says he would give UC Saros a B. April on Twitter says she would give UC Saros some B-, saying that, quote, he did really well at times and let some soft goals in. I feel Pex was cheated. He didn't even get a chance, and he looked better and faced more high-danger shots in the Dallas game. I can't help but wonder if Pex played, would the Preds have a different outcome? I don't think the outcome of this series would have been different with Pecorine between the pipes. At the end of the day, outside of the Jofa line, they didn't get enough contributions. Flat out. And yes, Pecorine faced more high danger shots in the Dallas game, but you know what? In the scrimmages, Pecorine let in a lot more goals than UC Saros did. And UC Saros is John Hines' guy between the pipes. So I think a lot of the comments about Pecorine and how fans feel like he may have been cheated, think a lot of that is because of what he's done throughout the duration of his career and not what he did in the 1920 regular season, which was not good at all. Coming up next, we'll continue to get your reaction to UC Soros in this series and what this season was for the Nashville Predators. Also, what's next? What is next for David Poile and this Preds team? We'll get to that coming up next. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds season comes to an end this afternoon against the Arizona Coyotes in Game 4 of the qualifying round in overtime. Back-to-back seasons that the Nashville Predators season ends in sudden death. 2019 in Dallas, 2020 in Edmonton against the Arizona Coyotes. And there have been upsets galore. The Blackhawks are beating the Oilers right now through the first period of play, I believe. Isn't it 2-1 Blackhawks over the Oilers?
2-1 after one.
The 12-seeded Blackhawks beating the Oilers right now. The 12-seeded Canadiens beat the Penguins and knocked them out earlier today, 2-0. The 11th-seeded Arizona Coyotes knocking out the Nashville Predators earlier this afternoon. Upsets galore in this qualifying round here today in what has been a crazy day of Stanley Cup playoff hockey. More responses. How did you feel like UC Soros performed in this series against the Arizona Coyotes? Seth on Twitter says C-. Definitely not the reason the Preds lost, but thoroughly outplayed. Looked shaky at times. Few mistakes were erased. I don't know if I would go that far, but you know, I gave him a B-. Adam Finkin gave him a B-. Chase McCabe weighs in, says that he would give UC Soros a B. Jared Stillman says a C. Kelly on Twitter says Soros was not the problem. I blame the collapse and pray defensive structure they used. That was horrible and the worst D-zone coverage idea I've ever seen implemented by an NHL head coach. Also, don't know if I would go that far, but for way too long, they've needed to clean up way too much in their own end. So a lot of responses on UC Soros, and I'm sure they'll continue for a while, and we'll continue the conversation Monday on Preds Insiders on UC Soros, Pecorine, and all of that. But another thing we're going to be mentioning Monday evening on Preds Insiders is what is next for this franchise? What is next for this team on the ice, on paper? What is next? And after the most disappointing season in franchise history, I mean, that would force a lot of change for a lot of teams. Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins and how they are just fading into the distance. After, look, the Preds have taken steps back in each of the last few years, so have the Pittsburgh Penguins. Holy smokes. I mean, I was reading some columns in Pittsburgh in the last couple of days where Mike Sullivan's job was on the line in today's Game 4, or Matt Murray did not deserve to start in Game 4. He didn't. Tristan Jarry played today, but that Crosby's getting old. Malkin's getting old. The sky is falling in Pittsburgh. So I can only imagine what's going on with a lot of Pens fans. A lot of the same feelings for a lot of Preds fans today after the season coming to an end, where Pecorine, you don't know if he's ever going to rekindle what he had before this season. His days as a starter may be done. And you've got a lot of contracts on this roster that I'm sure David Poile would like to get rid of, and 30 other NHL GMs don't really want. I'm looking straight at Kyle Turris. 0 points in 4 games. That trade looks awful at this point for David Poile, especially with how Colorado has responded to that trade by being well-armored with a lot of assets, and they are well-built for years to come out of that 3-team trade. And, look, you've got a tough decision on Craig Smith. Personally, I would not bring him back. I thought he did a lot more harm than good for this team in this postseason round. And he is what he is. And for the money you're going to spend on Craig Smith, you might be able to get similar production out of someone like a Philip Tomasino or an Ellie Tolvanen, where you're spending a lot less money, where you might get similar results. I'm not bringing back Craig Smith. I don't think I'm bringing back Mikael Granlund. I don't think. I just feel like there are too many players on this roster that are too reliant on their skill and they don't have enough in their game to do the little things and get to the net with consistency. Way too many times you see these forwards outside of Jofa get bumped off the puck or lose battles in the corners. You have to do the little things. You have to commit yourself to doing those little things to get yourself to help this Preds team win in the playoffs. You just have to. And way too many times, you just don't have much meat on that bone with some of these forwards. So I think David Poile in this offseason has got to find a player or two that can fit into the top nine at forward that is going to get to the net, that is going to do the little things that can elevate this team in the tough moments where you can scratch and claw your way to some victories where there wasn't a whole lot of scratching and clawing from this Preds team throughout this regular season and really since the 2017 Cup run. They've lost a lot of glue over the last few years that they need to get back. And final thought on this season, or on this offseason, excuse me, and what's next? Our outlook could all change Monday at 5 o'clock with Alexis Lafreniere. If they win the lottery Monday at 5, all of this disappointment that this fan base is feeling right now is probably going to be different by the time Preds Insiders hits the air at 6, if they win the lottery. Again, 12.5% chance. And, oh, are there some good, good teams about to get, or one of a handful of good teams about to get a really good, special young player in Alexis Lafreniere. That is all we have for Preds Insiders this evening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for weighing in on the discussion. And at some point, the Preds are going to lift that cup over their head, and at some point, all of this frustration will pay off in the end. You see it time and time again with way too many franchises around sports where the long drought was so worth it in the end. But a lot has to change, I think, mentally and with this Preds roster for that day to come. We'll talk to you again at 6 o'clock on Monday evening on Preds Insiders. I'm Ryan Porth here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.